Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Didn't do much live last week, and I was at the Florida Realtors midwinter meetings, and a lot of stuff going on, trying to make sure that all things are in place with regards to fair housing and other issues regarding home ownership and other property issues. So, but I thank you for joining us today. As you know, the impeachment hearings are on, and if you want more on that, all you have to do is turn on your TV, start at, I think, 1 o'clock. In the meantime, we do mourn the loss of Los Angeles Lakers basketball player Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the 7 others who were tragically killed in crash this was yesterday. And we have with us to talk a little bit about that Professor Victor Matheson from the College of the Holy Cross. Good morning, Professor Matheson. How are you?
Good morning, G. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for agreeing to join us. I know we play a little phone tag every now and then, and I know you're doing a lot of stuff usually, but I'm glad you were able to take a little time this morning. So can you talk a little bit about what you know of Kobe Bryant and the impact this is having?
Well, so I think before I start, one of the important things to realize is, of course, he left a wife and young kids, and so they certainly – deserve sympathy, even as we discuss Kobe's more complicated legacy. So, you know, obviously a very sad time for everyone involved. Kobe has a very interesting legacy. He was, without question, one of the greats of the game. Although he's a player that we're not going to see a player like him again, at least in part because his style of play belongs to a time before we invited all the nerds like me along and quantitative analysis of play. He was a tireless fan of all sports, including a huge supporter of women's sports, something we see way too little of. And we saw among the outpouring of support from a lot of the players in the WNBA, for example. That being said, he also was a person who was credibly accused of rape about 2 decades ago. You know, I don't think that should be forgotten either.
So, and the fact also, like you talk about his family, the fact that his daughter, one of his daughters, 13 years old, was in this crash, more and more details are seeping out as the investigation continues. And I know from some personal experience that can be really hard. I had a friend who lost her brother in a similar crash. And, you know, very young, or probably if not that age, younger. And the impact of having such a young life taken is just horrible as well. But you were talking about, you know, Kobe and stuff and some of the mistakes that he made. But it seems like he really worked toward the redemption factor, which, you know, a lot of people, I think they'll say, well, I made a mistake and it's in the past and all that. But I think he worked very, very hard at redemption and making a better life for himself.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, again, I just think it's such an interesting a comparison. Again, his role as an outspoken advocate for women's sports has been very obvious and very clear and has been very pronounced, at least in part, again, because he had girls and girls who were great athletes. Unfortunately, we will never know, you know, what heights his daughter could have climbed to as a basketball player herself. And I think that's a very interesting comparison to, again, his mistakes in early life. You know, he would have been an early person had the Me Too movement been around 20 years ago. But he was one of the very first, you know, prominent individuals actually, you know, arrested for sexual assault in a way that we did not see very often among athletes back in those days. It should be, I want to be very clear, he was never convicted because the alleged victim did withdraw her complaint. But even that is complicated. So, you know, I think it maybe is a good case that people can change, and we hope that that was one of the things he was doing, and we hope that this was a real change and not just a cynical ploy to, you know, as part of branding. But it certainly seems, you know, the outpouring of people who, you know, came through here in the last several days. Again, I'm particularly struck by the number of women's athletes who said that he did so much for their sport when it's so easy for, you know, the channels like ESPN to overlook women's sports entirely, and Kobe Bryant didn't do that.
So, now, he was one of the players, young players that, you know, skipped a college career, my understanding, and went straight to the pros. Is it because of his work ethic or just his natural talent that you think this happened for him? And what does this do in terms of other young athletes aspiring to become pros and celebrities in the NBA?
Yeah, so he was one of this first generation of athletes coming straight out. So if we look at the history of the NBA, up until the mid-1970s wouldn't let players play at all unless they'd completed college. That was declared illegal by the Supreme Court, and further interactions with the labor union further said that would not be permitted, and that athletes would be allowed to enter into the NBA anytime they want. But we didn't see many athletes come early. Until, again, basically the late 1980s and early 1990s, we saw these wave of athletes coming in right out of high school, Kevin Garnett being one of the prominent ones, and then Kobe Bryant being the other big, gigantic name coming out of that. In the last about 10 years, the union, the NBA Players Union, the NBA has agreed to mandate that students have at least one year of college, or at least be 1 year removed from high school before coming into the NBA. And so now we hear this term one and done, with the best athletes having to kind of park themselves for a year somewhere, not making any money, but park themselves for a year before coming into the NBA. I think
so
what's going on
you, let me ask you a question about that, because now there are a lot of high schools that have programs where you can complete some college courses at the same time. Does that count toward that at all?
Only if, so like AP credit doesn't count at this. It's really an age thing. You have to be 1 year removed from when you normally would have graduated from high school as a normal student. Basically, this is kind of collusion between the NBA and the NCAA, that the NBA gets a year of free training for the athletes, so they would rather have an athlete who's had 1 year of training done by them by a college rather than having to do that training themselves. The players get one less year of competition from these rising athletes. So the existing players like it. The NBA likes it. And, of course, the NCAA likes it because they get these star players for a year. The only one who really gets the short end of the stick here is the actual high school athletes themselves, who presumably could be making millions in the NBA if they're one of those unique talents, but instead are stuck having to go to college for a year where they're not really learning anything about college. They're just learning about basketball, but they don't get paid for that. So I think most economists see the unfairness of that situation. But that's what it is for now. And again, there was this brief window for about 10 years where all the top athletes could go directly from high school. And again, we see Hall of Famers like Kobe Bryant, who will be in the Hall of Fame without question, Kevin Garnett also will join him there, as well as LeBron James, all guys who came right out of high school and were able to dominate in the NBA right away.
So let me ask, how much is a draw in terms of other players wanting to, let's say, go to the Lakers, as well as fans that wanted to come out and watch Lakers and everything? How much do you think Kobe himself was a draw in terms of that for the Lakers?
So as a fan favorite, yeah, mm-hmm. In terms of a fan favorite, there has not been any obvious bigger star than Kobe. You know, when we're talking about Kobe Bryant, we're in the discussion about, is he the greatest ever? Is he one of the greatest ever? Is, you know, that's without question. And in terms of being a fan favorite, he's one of these guys that on any night could light it up like no other player that we've seen. So without question, from a fan standpoint, he is the guy that everyone wanted to go see. And there was no doubt for the 20 years he was in the NBA, he was a draw for the Lakers and a draw every time the Lakers went on the road. In terms of players wanting to play with him, that's a little more complicated. He was a me-first, shoot-first sort of guy, a totally different player than, for example, LeBron James, who is at the Lakers now. Coincidentally, LeBron James actually just passed Kobe, I think, on Friday night, passed Kobe as in the all-time scoring statistics for the NBA. And Kobe's last tweet actually was congratulating LeBron James on his accomplishment. But Kobe was a shoot first, me first sort of player, which made him fun to watch, but didn't necessarily endear him to his teammates. LeBron James, for example, is a defense first, assist first sort of guy. He's looking for his open teammate as much as he's looking to take the shot himself. Kobe Bryant, on the other hand, never saw a shot that he didn't want to take himself. So different sort of player than we're seeing than we've seen before, and different sort of player than we're seeing in the NBA typically today, which made him not necessarily so popular with his teammates. Famously, he had a long-term famous feud with Shaquille O'Neal, with whom he won several NBA championships with the Lakers. But Shaq didn't necessarily like having to share the limelight with Kobe.
From your perspective, in terms of an economist, can you talk about maybe the impact that he had on the team, on the city, and on the game?
Yeah, so certainly he was one of these guys who was he's a good argument for revenue sharing in the NBA because everywhere he went he drew huge crowds. So even though the Lakers were paying him when he went on the road to Minneapolis, Minneapolis could guarantee a sold out house in the Twin Cities, and when he went to Dallas, you'd have a sold out house there. He certainly is a guy who had what were called spillovers, that not only did he draw fans to the Staples Center in L.A., He also drew fans at every single place he went. So he had a huge impact on the NBA, was clearly a identifiable star, had a style of play that people liked to watch. Again, maybe not the best way to win games. Notoriously, his last season as a Laker was a real disaster of a season for the Lakers, as he could no longer carry the team himself and wasn't very good at making those around him better. But he was still a guy that everyone wanted to watch and generated huge amounts of revenue for the league.
Professor Matheson, thank you for joining us this morning. That's Professor Victor Matheson, College of the Holy Cross, and really appreciate you taking the time.
Of course, my pleasure.
Have a blessed day. We also have with us Kevin Walker of Sports Talk of Never Had a So Good Sports Media Network. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. How are you, Mr. Walker?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, and never had you on before, so this is a treat. This is a blessing. Thank you for taking the time out.
Again, my pleasure. I wish we were talking about something, a little bit more positive, but nonetheless, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I should have probably called you about the Pro Bowl maybe beforehand that we had here. But I wanted to get your perspective and insight on Kobe Bryant and what he brought to the game and to the fans and to, everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what the professor said. Anyone that you hear on social media, ESPN, he was just the ultimate competitor. I mean, he labeled himself the Black Mamba for a reason. He just had that fire in him. He emulated himself after Michael Jordan, who was that fierce competitor who smelled blood in the water when there was. And he took advantage of that as well. He modeled himself after that. And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't a big Kobe fan growing up. And then the reason being is because he was always always had that killer mentality where he was always keeping my team from winning the championship. You know what I mean? So he was more of a villain for me growing up. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because that means that he was doing what he was supposed to do. Great leader on the court, off the court. Even a better leader. He did have some trials and tribulations. Growing up, but what person doesn't? I mean, no one's immune to that. I actually went to school with his sister, Sharia. She was actually, we used to hang out all the time. She was at Temple University, and she was a volleyball player there when I was playing football. I was never got to meet Kobe, but, did speak to his sister quite often, during my time at Temple. So, I can only imagine what that family is going through right now, Gretchen, because, I mean, they lost a great human being. Let's forget about the basketball player for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about a father, a husband, a loving father, a loving husband, who had a great relationship and great chemistry with his daughter, Gianna, who also passed. As well. I mean, just seeing some of the things, the way they interacted with one another, it was just a great thing to see in that aspect. And for it to go down the way it did, it's really heartbreaking. And when it was brought to me, my son actually came to me, and he came in the room, Gretchen, and he had this look on his face. Like, I'm like, what's wrong with you? He showed me the phone, because I didn't get the report. He got the report first that TMZ had broke. And I was in disbelief. I said, no way, this is not true. I immediately turned to ESPN, CNN, all the news channels that I could possibly find. Nothing broke. So I was like, this has got to be a hoax. I went on Twitter, any social media outlet that I could find. Just could not believe it, man. I really just could not believe it. And then when it finally broke, it was so surreal, so heartbreaking. And just to know what he was doing, outside of basketball and with his daughter and taking it to, taking his business to another level and his brand, if you will, to another level. It was awesome to see that, but then to have it come to a halt the way it did, it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah, very much so. You were talking personal stuff, and I was looking at I glanced at something that I didn't know, this tidbit that he took R&B singer Brandy to his senior prom. And I was not even aware of that. And it's there's a lot of things that you'll probably find out about him. But to me, one of the I'm kind of like you in the sense that I wasn't necessarily a big Kobe fan, but I think it was more because of a generational thing for me, because Mike was a big deal when, you know, I was coming around. So, you know, after that, then Shaquille for me, because, you know, where he, you know, with the Magic and everything. So, you know, his vocal ties. So, but just seeing him, you know, just kind of out there shining and you know, working hard and working the court, like you said, you know, and you don't want to be on the other team that he's playing. No, like you said, you know, but at the same time, you know, you can't help but admire, you know, his skill and his prowess in terms of the game. So, and I just have a hard time of the fact that he was 41.
Right.
That to me, it kind of makes you grind to a halt a little bit and say, you know, maybe I need to put some things in the perspective, because you just never know. You know, and especially when you're young, even at that age, even though you're you know, kind of transitioning out of the young man stage and kind of transitioning into middle age. You know, you still think, okay, I'm not quite. It's not going to be my time yet. You know.
Yeah. Exactly, and he went in the way it happened. I mean, it's something he did all the time. The way he traveled, it was just something routine. I mean, just like anyone who would get in a car and go on their normal route to and from, you know, work or whatever event that they had, you know, scheduled at the time. I mean, he constantly did that, you know, with the helicopter. So it was just. You know, it's really baffling to me how something so routine can go so wrong so quickly. So, you know, we still have to wait to see all the details. Not that it's going to, you know, change anything or bring them back for that matter. But I'm just curious to know, you know, what exactly, you know, took place and caused this, you know, this tragedy, man. I mean, it really hit me, Gretchen, when I was watching ESPN this morning. And I didn't watch any sports yesterday, believe it or not. I was, other than, you know, I put on ESPN to, you know, hear some of the people talk about Kobe. But the basketball players and what they did, you know, they took the 24-second violation and to start the game. And then they took the eight-second backcourt violation as well, to pay tribute to, you know, both of his jerseys that he wore, 24 and 8. That's when it really hit me. And, you know, then these young kids, so much like Trae Young, who's, you know, he's got to be 21, 22 years old. I mean, you know, he was just a kid. I mean, I obviously these kids grew up knowing who Kobe Bryant was, but didn't really get to see him play like that. And so for them to know who he was and his legacy that, you know, that he left behind, I mean, even my son, he's 16 years old. I mean, you know, when these kids nowadays, you know, they're taking, you know, they're balling up a piece of paper and they're shooting in a trash can, and, you know, they're saying Kobe, you know, instead of Steph Curry, you know, it's really a great thing to see, and it shows that, you know, how much of an imprint that he left on the game of basketball.
But let me ask you this. He was with one team the whole time. Is that's not common, is it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
He was just with the one team.
Oh, yes.
The Lakers for his whole career. That's not a common thing, is it?
No, especially nowadays when you got free agencies and you see guys like LeBron James, who's on his third, fourth team. I mean, no, that's definitely rare. Even Michael Jordan, you know, finished his career with the Washington Wizards. You know, Scottie Pippen finished his career. He went to the Rockets, the Trailblazers. So, yeah, that was something definitely rare that you see. Even Shaquille O'Neal went to two or three teams. Yeah, it's definitely rare, man. It's definitely rare to see that because of the fact of the matter is. I mean, and that's what separates him as well, you know. He always did something that was different than everybody else, that he took it to another level. He put his, you know, he put his stamp on it, if you will, and to stay with one organization for 20 years. We're not talking about 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. We're talking about 20 years. That's two decades with the same team, so same organization. So, yeah, definitely a rare feat there as well.
Now, I know I brought you on here to talk a little bit, well, talk mostly about Kobe, but since I have you on,
okay.
You know what's happening next Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Yes.
So give me your take on what's going to happen.
Well, as a diehard Niner fan, I've been a Niner fan since I was 12 years old. I'm 47 now, so just to give you an idea of how long I've been a 49er fan, I really like this team, and I'm going to sound biased here, I truly am, but I do like the 49ers because of the fact of the matter is I think they're a complete team. I think that what they're able to do as far as run that ball, that's what they want to do first and foremost. Everyone knows that, but they do have the ability to have the ability of play of any type of game. If they have to grind it out, which they did last week against the Packers and the previous week against the Vikings, they're able to do that. If Jimmy G has to throw the ball, he's more than capable. He's shown that he's able to do that successfully and goes back to the game against the Saints. The defense is the defense that front seven has to be top notch on Sunday in order to throw off Patrick Mahomes. The back end is probably pretty much the weak part of the 49ers defense, but they're still strong nonetheless. I like the 49ers again because they are a complete team. I think the Chiefs are going to have to rely so much on Patrick Mahomes. Not sure if that's going to be enough to get it done because I'm not sold on their running game and I'm not sold on their defense. So with that being said, I'm going to take the 49ers in a close one. I like it, you know, to be around 33-30, somewhere around there. I know I gave a score earlier in the week, but the more I start to look at it, I think, you know, the weather it's looking pretty good. So it looks like a lot of speed is going to be out there. A lot of good plays are going to be made. So I'm going to go Niners 33, the Chiefs 30.
So with the last couple of games that the Chiefs had, and they had that, I guess you could say, rocky start or whatever, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you turn on the radio and you know, driving in the car, turn on the radio, and it's like,
right.
No, that's not going to happen, and you turn it off,
right.
and you turn it back on, or you come back later, and it's what? So you don't foresee that Mahomes comeback or that Chiefs comeback like it has been the last couple of games?
Well, I don't think Mahomes wants to get into a game like that. I don't think he wants to give the lead to the 49ers as he did against the Texans, that 24-point lead, and as he gave to the I don't want to say he, but the Titans, that 10-0 lead. I think what the 49ers are ultimately going to do is they're going to play two types of defenses. They're going to play one, their front seven. I mean, their normal defense. And I think what mm-hmm. they want to do is they want to use their offense to play defense. And what I mean by that is they want to keep that ball away from Patrick Mahomes. So as long as the 49ers offense is on the field, that means that the less that Patrick Mahomes will be on the field. So that's another way to beat Patrick Mahomes as well. So I don't think it's in the best interest for the Kansas City Chiefs to give the 49ers a lead, anywhere, but, you know, 24-10, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they don't have the ability to do it, but I just don't think it's in their best interest because I think that the 49ers are just built a lot differently than Texans and the Titans. So, I don't foresee that happening. So it's not in the best interest for them to do that.
Mr. Kevin Walker, really appreciate you taking the time, and you are welcome to come back on the show. Just let me know.
All right, absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime. I sure
All
appreciate
right.
you guys. And have a great rest of your show now.
You too. Have a blessed day now.
You as well.
You all, now, I have a confession to make, you all. I am a chocoholic, so this is kind of one of my days because it's National Chocolate Cake Day. So, I mean, even though, you know, I'm slowly but surely losing a little weight, every now and then you got to treat yourself. So I would say go and find a nice piece. Maybe make sure it's a good piece of chocolate cake. Don't just get a piece just to be getting it. Get a nice piece of chocolate cake and share it with someone and have a nice cup of tea or coffee. I know some people like milk. I'm more into the hot beverages with my cake. So, but if you have a good chocolate cake recipe, share it with me on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. I would love to have it. You know, just let me know. So, but we're going to actually we're not going to take a break. We're going to cut the show short today and let you all go on. And we want to keep Kobe Bryant's family and friends and colleagues in our prayers as we go forward today. But thank you for taking the time to listen. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. Have a very blessed day, everyone. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.